الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us this beautiful opportunity yet again, moving into the Mubarak months, that we know that from amongst the four months that are known as Ashhurul Hurum, one of them is Dhul Qa'dah. So Allah Pak had given us the beautiful opportunity of seeing Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us now the opportunity of seeing Dhul Qa'dah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq also of seeing Dhul Hijjah, inshaAllah. So we find, last we were speaking about the different levels of taharat. In the last, just to recap, we spoke on taharat anil anjas. That level of purification and level of cleanliness as far as physical impurities are concerned. As far as the things that come out from the human body, and those things that have been declared haram and napak and najis, for example, blood, for example, urine, stool, etc., pus, etc., all these things, they need to be clean. The person needs to clean himself, his body, the place of salah. So this is one level of taharat which is extremely important. That is the primary level of taharat. Then we get another level of taharat which we discussed, is taharat anil ahdath, where a person keeps himself in the state of wudu. A person keeps himself in the state of ghusl. In other words, he doesn't have physical impurities on him, but he purifies himself from a state. That state is known as hadasi asghar or hadasi akbar, whether it is the state of being out of wudu or the state of being out of ghusl, a person keeps himself pure. And then we discussed the importance of making the wudu properly. Something that is very common today you find is people don't wash their elbows properly. In other words, when they're washing their hands, their elbows are left out. And another common practice or incorrect practice is when people are washing their face, they don't ensure that from the forehead till the bottom of the chin, and from one earlobe to the other earlobe, all is wet. And when you're washing the feet, including the ankles, sometimes the ankles are not washed. So every spot, if one hair's breadth is left out, then that wuzu is invalid. So this is the second level, which is taharat anil ahdath, where a person keeps himself clean from this state of impurity. The next level that you get of taharat is taharatul jawarih anil haram. A person keeps his limbs. A person keeps his limbs clean from haram. What does this mean? A person's eyes is safe from haram. His ears is safe from haram. His tongue is safe from haram. So these limbs of the body now, he also ensures that they also get saved from those things that are haram. Because remember something, although we don't see it in a physical form, these things that are haram for the ears and the eyes, they're actually very filthy. Very filthy, although we can't see that filth. Those pious people that Allah Pak had blessed them, sometimes they could see what shape people's filth actions would take. They wouldn't even want to see them. Allah Pak had made it possible for them to see. So these things, a person has to keep his body clean from the filth of the eyes. And we think it to be very light, but it has very, very severe repercussions. Just to give you one example, when it comes to the filth of the tongue, for example, there was a great saying, or a very great person by the name of Muhammad bin Sirin. Allah knows best whether this incident is directly linked to him, but this incident is made mansub to him. That on one occasion, he was a very pious person. He did a deal. He did a business deal, and he bought some goods, and he sold it. But when he sold the goods, he wasn't happy that this deal was 100% kosher, 100% permissible, 100% halal. So what this person did, Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, is all the income from there he had given away. Just for our understanding purposes, the masla is where a person has done a deal like this, then he just needs to give the profit away. He doesn't need to give the capital away. But his level of taqwa was such that he gave the capital and the profit away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as sadaqah. Why? He wasn't happy with that particular deal. Now that money that he would normally take from that deal and pay his creditor, he didn't have that funds available. So this creditor, what he had done was he took some action against him and he was imprisoned. He was imprisoned because now he couldn't pay his creditor. So one of his students was there by him and he told his student that, let me tell you why this has happened to me today. That today you see me as an ustad, as a great personality, and today I'm imprisoned. He said the reason for this is 40 years ago, I must use my tongue. I told one person, ya muflis. I address one person as, oh, you bankrupt person. Because 40 years ago, I addressed somebody as, oh, you bankrupt person. Allah Pak made it such that today I am seeing the day whether I am bankrupt today. So this is the effect that the tongue has. We think that it has no effect, but the tongue has a very serious effect. In fact, one of the most serious thing, because of this tongue is, see the other limbs of the body, the hands, the feet, etc. When you use them too much, they get tired. But the tongue is one such part of the body, one such limb, that doesn't matter how much you use it, the tongue doesn't get tired. So therefore, the destructive effect of the tongue is so much, it can break up families immediately. It can cause years and years and years of furniture to be soured just by one ill word, one wrong word being used. There was a father that wanted to teach his child a lesson of how serious this tongue is. So he told him to take a piece of wood, take some nails and take a hammer and knock that nails into this piece of wood. So this child took it to learn the lesson. Sometimes when you teach a person practically, the lesson is learned much more effectively than just hearing the words. So this child had taken that hammer, taken that nails and knocked those nails into that piece of plank. Then the father told him that now remove the nails. So the child took that other end of the hammer now and pulled out those nails from the piece of wood. Then the father told him, right, now you've knocked the nails, now you remove the nails, now you see the holes that you made, remove those holes also. So the son said, oh father, that I can't do. I can put the nail in, I can pull out the nail, but I can't remove the holes that were left in there. So the father told him, this is the example of using words incorrectly. You may be able to ask a person for maaf. Once you knocked him or you hurt him with your words, you may be able to ask him for maaf. That maaf is like removing that nail, but that hole and that scar that you left in his heart, that you won't be able to remove. So this is the harmful effects of using the tongue incorrectly. Then we come, so one is the person uses his tongue correctly, he uses his ears also correctly. It might sound very strange to us, but the pious people tell us that those people that use their tongue properly, they use their ears properly, Allah Pak makes it such that these people have a very easy death. So one nuskha, one recipe of having a very easy maut is look after the tongue and look after the ears. Ears from what? From those things that are haram, from ghibat. Sometimes we think we are not the ones that are talking, but we're just listening, just hearing the story. We don't realize that this is also part of ghibat. We are part and parcel of the same ghibat that is taking place. So a person looks after his ears from haram, and then he looks after his ears from doubtful things also. So the eyes are saved from doubtful and haram. The tongue is saved from doubtful and haram. The ears are also saved from doubtful and haram. Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that if a person wants special ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who doesn't like to have a special connection with the president? Who doesn't like to have a special connection with a very prominent person? A special connection with some person that is high as far as dini ranking is concerned? We all would like to have a special connection. Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi says that person that wants to have a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should do two things and leave out two things. The two things that he should do is, this person should engage in kasrati dhikr. He should make a lot of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, use his tongue correctly. And the next thing he should do is ita'at. He should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consistently be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says those two things that this person should refrain from. He should refrain from useless actions, useless talk. Something that we all get involved in. So long as we are on those groups, on those chat groups where other people are talking, automatically we're going to get involved in useless talk. So one easy way of saving ourselves from useless talk and useless discussion is just take ourselves away from those chat groups. We don't need to be there. Why do we need to listen to the story of the whole world? Why do we need to lose that special ta'alluq and the special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by us being present on those chat groups? So Mawlana Tanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi says that a person should stay away from useless activities, useless talk, useless chats. And the next thing he should stay away from is a person should stay away from being ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should stay away from being unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by staying away from sins. So therefore, two things we should stay away from, those things that are useless, and stay away from gunas. And then Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, Allama Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned a very beautiful thing. He said that person that saves his ears, he saves his eyes, he saves his heart from evil and from wrong and from guna. In other words, he's careful about the way he uses these things. He says, after that, if this person doesn't feel noor in his heart, then he can blame me. In other words, if a person wants to feel that nuraniyat and that ruhaniyat in his heart, like, who doesn't want to feel this? That's why people go for Hajj, Allah Pak, accept the trip of the Hujjaj, may Allah Pak accept it and make it a success for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all, give us all the tawfiq of going. But one of the things is to bring this nuraniyat and ruhaniyat and come back with it. So Allama Rumi rahmatullahi says, if you want to feel the ruhaniyat and nuraniyat in your heart, then this is what you should do. Protect your eyes, protect your ears, protect your tongue, and protect your heart. So now this is the third level of taharat. The fourth level of taharat is taharatul qalb, where a person saves his heart generally, just the general condition of the heart, what he saves the heart, and what he cleans the heart from. He cleans the heart from malice, he cleans and shines this heart from envy, from jealousy, from hatred, from all those evil qualities. These things are very, very dirty. In that first example I gave, that where a person is one, he's going to work, and he mistakenly tramps on something, for example, the droppings of a dog. He mistakenly tramps on it. This person feels it so difficult, he'll try to clean his shoes. He won't jump into his car with that little bit of stool on his shoe. He's scared that his car might start smelling, his car will get messed. Then he'll go back to the house and he'll leave that shoe outside the house. He won't even take that shoe in the house. But respected friends, that stool on the shoe is not as serious as that dirt in the heart. The dirt in the heart is something we can't see. And the stench of that dirt in the heart is much more than the stench of the stool on the shoe of the person. That person will now ask his wife that when the maid comes, please ask her to clean the shoe properly so that there's no stain left. How many of us take the effort and trouble to clean the stench from the heart? So therefore the Buzughanuddin, they tell us that this stench and dirt in the heart is also one level of taharat where a person has to clean this heart and keep this heart clean. So the general aspect and the general welfare of cleaning the heart, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out of his way to see that nothing ill and evil could come into the heart of the Sahaba. He was ma'asum, but he would be 100%, he would make 100% sure. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was sitting in i'tikaf. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha had come to visit him. So she had spoken whatever she needed to speak to him, and she now was leaving. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam just accompanied her slightly as she was leaving. And then two Sahaba began to walk, and when they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was dark, they saw Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, they began to increase their pace. So immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, ala rislikuma, that take it easy, go easy, innaha Safiya, that this is your mother, Hazrat Safiya binti Huyay, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So they were surprised, these two Sahaba were surprised, because they could never ever have thought evil, they could not have thought wrong of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they exclaimed, subhanallah, that, oh Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is impossible for us to even think that you might have been with a strange woman. There was no need for you to clarify the matter. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said a very important thing, a very nice thing. He said, inna shaytana yajri fil insani majra dam. That in shaytan is such a thing, such a person, such a zat, that he flows in the body of the person like the flowing of blood. Like how blood flows in his part, like that shaitan flows. In other words, it's easy for any person to have any type of misgiving. To save you from the misgiving, immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam clarified the matter. This morning we did one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a sahabi by the name of Amr ibn Taghlib radiallahu anhu. He mentions one incident where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was distributing wealth that had come to him. Some wealth and some slaves had come, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was distributing them. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave preference to some sahaba on the basis that they were poor, that they were new in Islam, or they were such that they would generally ask. So he gave them preference over those sahaba that were content, that were happy, and were such that they didn't desire much. So he gave these sahaba preference. So a message came to him that those that didn't get, some of them, they were not too excited, not too happy that they didn't get. So immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified the position immediately, not allowing any ill effect and any kind of misgiving to come in the heart. So from here we see, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressed sahaba, it's a long incident, but just for the point to take, is that he addressed them and he clarified the matter on the spot. So we also, we should see, whenever there is an opportunity or a chance that there may be some misgiving between me and that person, take out the time, take out the trouble and clear the thing. It is important, very important for the heart to be clean, because a small germ will grow into a big poison and can be such that can be detrimental to the ta'alluq and relationship a person has with the person, with another person. And coming now to the last level of taharat, the fifth level of taharat, which one ties up with the aspect of qurbani, and this is taharatul qalb amma siwallah, that to clean and clear that very inner recess of the heart from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the days of Qurbani are coming in the next few years, in few weeks. We'll hear many discussions as far as what Qurbani entails. But just to get an understanding, we say Ibrahim Khalilullah. What is meant by Khalilullah? On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif also, it comes in Muslim Sharif also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر ولكن صاحبي وأخي. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I had to take a khalil, I had to take a jigri dos, I had to take a bosom friend, it would have been Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is my friend and he's my companion. He can't be, in other words, he can't be that bosom friend. Hazrat Mullah Qasim Nanoti rahmatullahi alayhi explains what is meant by khalil. He says that a person's heart and his attachments, around his heart and around his attachments, around his heart should be the attachments for everything else. All his family, there's nothing wrong for a person to have love for his family, love for his friends, love for everybody around us, there's no problem. But that inner recess, that inner vessel of the heart, that inner recess should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about, that inner recess of the heart was reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this aspect of Qurbani comes, when this aspect comes, this is what is highlighted by the love that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Allah was in the inner recess of the heart. One poet so beautifully said, he said, لَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةٌ. How nice it would be that despite everything in life being bitter, the relationship and the taluk and the ibadat and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be sweet. فَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالنَّاسُ غِضَابُ. How beautiful it would be that everyone is upset with me. If everyone happens, it happens such that everyone is upset with me, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. وَلَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ. And how nice and how beautiful it will be that the taluk and the relationship between Allah, myself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is populated. وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. And the relationship between me and all the worlds, even if that relationship is spoiled, how nice it would be if the relationship between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was correct. إِذَا صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَيِّنٌ. If that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's in the recess of that heart, if that love is realized, then everything becomes easy. Now to take that beautiful son of yours, to take that beautiful child of yours that grew up in front of you whilst you being in such an elderly age, to obey that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also becomes easy. Then the last part of it said, وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فُوقَ التُرَابِ تُرَابُ. Everything above the sand, everything above the ground is also sand. Everything is also sand. The only thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu bas baqi hawas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything. Everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a mirage. It's just an imagination. It's just a fallacy. Everything. So this was the level that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam reached. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the tawfiq of understanding and having that love. That everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should mean nothing to us. Allah should be every single thing to us. The commands of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be everything for us. This is the lesson of love we learn from Qurbani. It shouldn't be such that we just take the knife, slaughter the animal and think it's over. But the lesson of love that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had Allah in his heart, in the deepest recess of his heart, and everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was besides the recess of the heart. Therefore he could express and demonstrate such love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us that love, and may Allah Pa give us the tawfiq of valuing and being able to bring all these five levels of taharat into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Thank you.